Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, and welcome back to the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible
which is sponsored by Block Talk Radio. I'm your sister. Today I'll be your co-host, as well as your servant and friend, Sister Georgia. Today's lesson, The Book of Maccabees, No New Thing Under the Sun, will be hosted by our brother Jonathan. And family, I welcome each and every one of you and every lost sheep of the house of Israel. Anyone who wants to hear the Father's truth, welcome, welcome, welcome. Family, we're getting ready to get into a very interesting topic. I know that we have already gone through the first and second book of the Book of Maccabees. Many people don't realize that that book, the Book of Maccabees, which is in the Apocrypha, was originally in the Bible. This was a book that was removed, and most of the modern Bibles that you have in your homes probably will not include this. But I have included the links that we're going to be reading from, and Brother Jonathan is going to take us from 1 Maccabees 1 and Maccabees 2, and we're going to be going over and tying in and connecting how we can go within our history book and see things that are currently happening today. And we're praying that this will give more light and understanding to what our Father has already spoken within his preserved word. So at this time, family, I'm going to bring on our brother Jonathan. Welcome, brother Jonathan.
Shalom.
Brother Jonathan? Can you hear me? Oh, yes, I can.
All right, shalom.
Welcome.
Shalom. Well, it's a pleasure to be before you again, family. You know, I got an interesting topic today. I'm going to be going through the Book of Maccabees. And I don't know whether any of you all are watch sports or whatever, but the big sports news for this week is this man, the Clippers owner, and his name is Donald Sterling. And if any of you know, he has a team full of Hebrews on his team that make him billions of dollars, okay? And he made a remark that was, in my opinion, nothing wrong with, simply because I know how he feel about our people. I know how the Most High feel about the so-called white man, and I know how they feel about us, okay? But this topic is not centered towards him or centered towards pretty much what he said. This discussion or lesson today is going to just show how the Book of Maccabees is very relative to our situation today, especially sports. It's the number one thing, how it's a huge distraction to our people, a humongous distraction, especially to us men, okay? It distracts us from serving the Most High. We rather do those things. We rather make the white man money. We rather get out there and hate our own brothers and beat up our own brothers than to serve the Most High. And this didn't just start in America. This has been happening. It would happen in our homeland before even our Savior was on the scene. And the Book of Maccabees is going to tell us that, okay? So I'm going to be going here and there, so hopefully I can tie this in good to make you see that what's going on right now has always been going on. But it's a solution for that. We have to come out of these Greekish and heathenish acts, whether it's the entertainment business, whether it's the sports business, whether it's the so-called college Greek life. We have to come out of those things. And am I saying there's anything wrong with playing sports? No, I am not. But with the mindset that our people have today is very much is detrimental to our people. Okay? It's very detrimental to our people, and that's why we got to come out of those things. Because if we do not, our people are going to die here in America for the love of money and wickedness, okay? Because America sells our people this dream, this so-called American dream, especially to mostly every young black male. And I'm a personal witness of that myself. And we're going to see this thing through the Book of Maccabees, and hopefully you all can see it too. But if you don't know what's going on in the sports business today, I mean, it's all over the TV, anyway. This man's name is Donald Sterling. He made some remarks concerning basically saying, I don't want black people at my game, even though the coach for the team is black and all his players are pretty much black. And he was specifically centering that comment towards Magic Johnson, one of the most richest black men in America, okay? So that just goes to let us know whether we got millions of dollars, whether we got $2. In the eyes of the so-called white man, we are niggas. We are nothing. So we need to understand why we're over here in this land. And we shouldn't be trying to come up in this land and build our homes in this land. Not saying literally building a home, but knowing that this is not our place forever. That's what I'm saying. Because at the end of the day, the Most High is going to come and get us out of this place. This place is going to be judged. The white man is going to be judged. Okay? So that's where I'm going to be going today, tying in different things. Okay? So now I just want to say a prayer before I open up. Okay? Father Yahuwah, we thank you today for all that you do. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We thank you for being our Father. We thank you, Yahuwah, for your protection, for your guidance, for being a provider for us. You told us, Father, in your word, in all things, give thanks. Thank you for everything that we have, Father, the little that we do have. We thank you for the cars that we have, the homes that we have, Father, roofs over our head, the food that we have, Father. We thank you for health and strength. And, Father, I just ask for a blessing upon all the people that are under my voice right now. And that your words today, Father, be edifying to our people. And I also pray for our people, Father, that scattered across the four corners of the earth, that we wake up, Father, and take heed to your word and do righteousness and righteous deeds in your sight, Father. Father, I pray for the ears of the people today, that we be attentive to your word, Father, and that we take heed to your word. Father, day by day, I ask that you continue to change our hearts and our minds, and that you continue to purge us, Father, from the wickedness that's within us. And I pray all of these things, Father, in the name of Yahushua. Thank you. Okay?
Hallelujah.
So, first off, family, I want to go to the first book of Maccabees. The first book of Maccabees, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 15. I'm going to give you a little
chapter
time.
Chapter
1. Maccabees, 1 Maccabees, chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. Okay? So like I said, family, I'm going to try to tie all this in to what's going on today so you can see. And during the time of Maccabees right now, I'm going to give you a little background. During the time of Maccabees, we were under the Greek captivity upon the Grecians. Okay? And if you read and continue to read the book of Maccabees, you will find out why we were called Greeks. So now when you see, once we go over this, or once you go over and read the whole first book of Maccabees and the second book of Maccabees, you will see why in the New Testament that Paul would make a quote saying, "Is there no difference between the Jew or the Greek?" He wasn't saying there's no difference between Hebrew or white man. No, that's not what it was saying. He was saying there's no difference between the Jew or Yehuda, who was keeping the laws and statutes and commandments of the Most High, and the Greeks, the people who left the laws, statutes, and commandments to follow after heathenish acts. Okay? They lost their identity, just like we have lost our identity today. It's the same thing. That's why you'll get some of our people today. We know that we're Hebrews, and we'll say it. But you'll get the rest of us that say, you know, I'm African-American. No, I'm American. I'm this. I'm that. I'm an Ethiopian. I'm an Egyptian. I'm a Moor. I'm a Muslim. It's the same thing. Nothing different. Okay? But this is the time we was up under the Greek captivity. Okay? So this is the book of Maccabees, chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 15. And family, if I get a little emotional, a little riled up when I'm reading, please forgive me. because it's just this book right here, to me, is one of the most relative books to what's going on today and the things that the so-called white man have done to us and what he did to our forefathers in his book are atrocious. And it really gets me pissed. But I'm about to read. This is 1 Maccabees, the first chapter, verses 1 through 15, I'm sorry. And it reads, and it happened after that. And it happened after that, Alexander, son of Philip, the Macedonian, who came out of the land of Chittim, had smitten Darius, king of the Persians and Medes, that he reigned in his stead the first over Greece. I'm going to stop right there in verse 1. And I'm pretty sure many do know, but if you do not know, right here is talking about Alexander the Great, okay? Alexander the Great. This is just another way to prove that this history book is true, because Alexander the Great is a historical figure that can be looked up, and he is in our scriptures, okay? So this is talking about Alexander the Great, the white man, okay, and made many wars and won many strongholds and slew the kings of the earth. That's verse 2. Verse 3. And went through to the ends of the earth and took spoils of many nations, and so much that the earth was quiet before him, whereupon he was exalted, and his heart was lifted up. Okay, I'm going to stop right here at verse 3. You see, it's giving a description right here of Alexander the Great. Okay, we know that Alexander was the Great was a white man, or Esau, or Edomite. Okay, and we just read right here in verse 3, it says, whereupon he was exalted and his heart was lifted up. We know all throughout scripture, the description of Esau or the Edomites were a proud people. Their heart was always lifted up, just like it is today. Okay, that's why you will read in the book of Hebrews where Paul was talking about Esau. There was no place of repentance found in Esau, because he's a prideful people. These are prideful people. And that's why the Most High hates these people. Okay? Verse 4, it said, he gathered a mighty stronghold and ruled over countries and nations and kings who became tributaries unto him. And after these things he fell sick and perceived that he should die. Wherefore he called his servants, such as were honorable and had been brought up with him from his youth, and parted his kingdom among them. He was yet alive. So Alexander reigned 12 years and then died. And his servants bare rule, everyone in his place. And after his death, they all put crowns upon themselves, so that their sons after them many years. So did their sons after them many years. And evils were multiplied in the earth. Okay? Verse 10. And there came out of them a wicked root, Antiochus, surnamed Epiphanes, son of Antiochus the king, who had been in hospice at Rome, and had reigned in the 137th year of the kingdom of the Greeks. In those days went there out of Israel wicked men, who persuaded many, saying, let us go and make a covenant with the heathen that are round about us. But since we departed from them, we have had much sorrow. So this device pleased them well. Then certain of the people were so far herein that they went to the king, who gave them a license to do after the ordinance of the heathen. Whereupon they built a place of exercise at Jerusalem, according to the customs of the heathens, and made themselves uncircumcised, and forsook the covenant and joined themselves to the heathen and were sold to do mischief. Okay. So we see right here verses 1 through 15 where Alexander the Great was ruling. Okay. He came and he conquered. Came and he conquered many nations. And you'll see that he died and his friends upon him put crowns on their head and they continued to reign. And they took over Jerusalem, so on and so forth. Okay, and this is verse 11. I'm going to read that again. In those days, went there out of Israel, wicked men who persuaded many, saying, let us go and make covenant with the heathen that are round about us. For since we departed from them, we have had much sorrow, so this device pleased them well. Then certain of the people were so far herein that they went to the king, who gave them license to do after the ordinance of the heathen, whereupon they built a place of exercise at Jerusalem according to the customs of the heathen, made themselves uncircumcised, forsook the covenant, joined themselves to the heathen, and were sold to do mischief. Okay, you see why our people, right here, we wanted to be like the heathen, okay? At least some of us, wicked men, persuaded some of us, hey, let's go and be like the heathen. Let's go and do what the heathens do. Let's go and build a place of exercise. Let's go and build a gym or a gymnasium, okay? And for you all who don't know, that word gymnasium, okay, gymnasium comes from the word, two words, gymnos and gymnazo, okay? Gymnos means naked or, you know, a bare. And gymnazo means to train naked, okay? So when you see the word gymnasium, it means basically a place where you train naked, okay? And this is what was going on with our people at this time in Jerusalem, at least some of our people, okay? We went and we tried to do what the heathens were doing. We tried to go build us a place of exercise. And that's why you'll see it today, that instead of pushing our people to libraries or teaching our people about their history, America tells our people or put it in our people's head from knee high to train our people to play sports, to go into these gymnasiums, okay? And the only thing that these sports do is make our people hate each other more and more. More wickedness comes out of these sports, okay? Our men laying with men, the women with women. You got the men laying with thousands and thousands of different women, okay? You got our women being groupies. It's pure wickedness that's coming out of this stuff. The same back then, dealing with this in the heathenish acts. Because I don't know whether you all know about some of the Greekish customs. These people, like I said, they did all of this stuff but naked. They trained butt naked, they exercised butt naked, they played their sports butt naked, okay? They had orgies in the middle of the street. It was pure wickedness, pure wicked, okay? All right, so now I want to go to verses.
Oh, brother, can I jump in?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I just want to point out, too, we have a lot of people probably are not familiar with the Apocryphers, but like I said, these books were originally within the original Bible that was given, and they removed these books. So I just want to bring to your attention, for those of you who are not familiar with it, verses 7 and 8 of 1 Maccabees chapter 1 says, so Alexander reigned 12 years and then died, and his servants bear rule every one in his place. This is the same thing, family, when you go to when Daniel was interpreting the dream of that statue, the four kingdoms that he saw, where it had the, you know, the first, the golden one, the silver, Bronze Age, and then the Iron Age. Well, we know that the Bronze Age, which would have been the skirt area, it was the leopard. It was also the Greco-Macedonian Age. But this would have been the same thing that you can read about in the book of Daniels. So just so you're aware that this book is legit. This book was, you know, the Apocrypher was talking about the same thing that we can read about within the Bible. The other thing I want to point out is we've always been showing you in Scripture where the serpent seed has always been there. When you go to the book of Kings, when you go to the book of Numbers, when you go, I mean, it's just all through the book. New Covenant, Revelation speaks about it. Well, if you go back to verse 10, and you have to read all the Apocrypha too, you can pick it out, but you're going to see the same language. It talks about excuse me, it talks about in verse 11, in those days went there out of Israel wicked men who persuaded many. Now, when you go over to the New Covenant, and the scribes and the Pharisees, they wanted to crucify Yahushua. And there was a time when the Roman Pontius Pilate, he wanted to let, you know, he was going to give it a choice to the Hebrews and let either, what's his name? I can't even think of his name. Barabbas. Let Barabbas or let Yahushua go. Well, you'll find that these same wicked men in the New Covenant, they're called scribes and the Pharisees, we know that's the serpent seed because Yahushua pointed them out as well as John the Baptist, calling them generation of vipers and telling them that their father was the devil. But what they did, if you pay attention, the scribes and the Pharisees went out amongst our people, and it uses the word they persuaded them to say, crucify Yahushua, and our people followed them. It's the same thing. They'll put the word wicked men in there and things like that, and the language is the same, who persuaded many, okay, saying, let us go and make a covenant with the heathen. You'll find the foot portion of the Iron Kingdom where it's part miry clay and part iron, the serpent seed are the miry clay, and they're right within the heathen empire, that last empire, and they're in full effect today. I just want to mention that. So when you're going through the book, don't always think that, oh, it's just somebody who was bad. No. You got to understand this book, our history book, you can go from beginning to end, and you're going to find the same language, talking about the same type of people who were in the book of Isaiah. It says, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. They who lead us cause us to err. Many of the people who were leading Israel caused them to err, and they were men. They were men. I just want to point that out, brother.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so I'm going to pick up. So we see right here during this time, like I said, Alexander the Greek died, and his one of his friends started ruling instead, Antiochus Epiphanes. Okay, so Antiochus Epiphanes just started slaughtering everybody, conquering everything. And they pretty much destroyed most of our people. Okay? They went into the sanctuaries, they tore down our temple, they did everything. Started sacrificing swine on the altar, and they just pretty much destroyed our people. And destroyed the set apart system. Okay? I'm going to read verses 56. This is 1 Maccabees. I'm still in chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 56 through 64. Okay? And when they had rent in pieces the books of the law, which they found, they burnt them with fire. And whatsoever was found with any, the book of the testament, or any consented to the law, if any consented to the law, the king's commandment was, and they should put him to death. Thus did they by the authority unto the Israelites every month to as many as were found in the city. Now the 25th day of the month, they did sacrifice upon the altar, which was upon the altar of the Most High, at which time, according to the commandment, they put to death certain women that had caused their children to be circumcised. They hanged the infants about their neck, and rifled their house, slew them, they had circumcised them. Howbeit, many in Israel were fully resolved and confirmed in themselves not to eat any unclean thing. Wherefore they chose up to die, that they might not be defiled with meat, and that they might not profane the set apart covenant. So then they died, and there was great wrath upon Israel. So we see right here, now, at this time, the Antiochus, the wicked man, came and he was slaying our people, and he was telling our people, hey, you got to do what I tell you to do. And any that consented to the law of the Most High, who circumcised their child, who did not eat unclean things, were put to death. Okay? This is another example. So when you get in the New Testament, you will see why some of us were called uncircumcised. Okay? Why some of us were called Greeks. Okay, because we were Greek speaking Hebrews. That's why we were called the Greeks. Okay? So you'll know that. So now you won't get tricked up at times when you see there's no difference between a Jew or the Greek, because we were known as Greeks. Okay? All right. So now I want to go to... I'm still
can,
in the...
Can I add one more part in there, brother?
Go ahead.
Okay. I just want to point this out because I pray that when you're reading both the regular Bible, the KJV, and then you switch over and you might read the books that they took out, you are aware of a lot of the stuff that we're going to be reading about in the Maccabees will also fall into Revelations for your understanding. And I do believe that they remove these books because with this understanding, you can also understand things that were said, prophecy towards the end time, and especially in Revelations. Because there's a part in Revelations, I tried to pull it up, I don't have enough time to pull it up, but my computer's going too slow. But it'll talk about how, and everybody believes they're talking about the Roman Empire. It'll say how they killed the servants of the Most High and so forth. But what many people don't understand, that's why I want to point it out, when you go and understand that there were evil men, wicked men, who throughout the scriptures, they always persuaded our people. And by their act, we see that because they wanted to, you know, intermingle with the heathen began doing certain acts to our people, like slaying the children and the women and things like that. So actually, the people who got us into error, they would have the blood on their hands by intermingling with these heathens, because Israelites were dying because of what they did. And you're going to see a repeated pattern throughout our history book, and especially the books they took out. Okay, brother, that's all I want to add.
Okay. So right now you are, I'm just giving you a background, you know, of what's going on in the Maccabees, okay? I'm just trying to show you some things so you'll be familiar with what was going on and what they did to our people when we didn't consent to what the king's commandment was, okay? And that's relative to what's going on today. Okay, that's why you get most of our people, the entertainers or the athletes, they do things, they pretty much sell their dignity, they sell their souls, they sell their own people out to follow after the king's commandment or follow after America's commandment or the white man's commandment, okay? That's what they do. They destroy themselves and they continue to destroy their own seed through the wickedness of the heathen, or trying to be like the heathens, okay? All right. But here I'm going to show you an example of one of our people who was trying to get bribed by the so-called white man through the trickery and the deceit, how he denied it, okay, and continued to try and continue to serve the Most High. This is chapter 2. Verses 18 through 27, okay? Now, this is Matthias, okay? And he was commissioned by the king to come and to sacrifice on the altar. But Matthias refused, and we're going to read this. This is 1 Maccabees, chapter 2, verses 18, okay? Now, therefore, come thou first, and fulfill the king's commandment, like as all the heathen have done, and the men of Judah also, and such as remain in Jerusalem. So shalt thou and thy household be in the number of the king's friends, and thou and thy children shall be honored with silver and gold, and many rewards. We'll stop right here. So we can read right now where he was trying to get bribed and say, hey, come sacrifice. Come do the king's commandment. We'll give you this silver and gold. You'll be the king's friend. That's the same thing that goes on today. Come on, do this, do that, okay? We'll give you money here. We'll give you money there. We'll build you houses. We'll give you cars. But come, pretty much sell yourself. Do what I tell you to do, okay? This is verse 19. Then Matthias answered and spake with a loud voice. So all the nations that are under the king's dominion obey him. Fall away, everyone, from the religion of their father, and give consent to his commandments, that I and my sons and my brethren walk in the covenant of our father. The Most High forbid that we should forsake the law and the ordinances. We will not hearken to the king's words to go from our religion, either on the right hand or on the left. Okay? Now, when he had left speaking these words, there came one of the Jews in the sight of all to sacrifice on the altar which was at Modin, according to the king's commandment. Which thing, when Matthias saw, he was inflamed with zeal, and his reins trembled. Neither could he forbear to show his anger, according to judgment. Wherefore he ran, and he slew him upon the altar. Also the king's commissioner, who compelled men to sacrifice, he killed at that time, and the altar he pulled down. Thus dealt he zealously for the law of the Most High, like to Zimri, the son of Solomon. And Matthias cried throughout the city with a loud voice, saying, whosoever is zealous of the law and maintaining the covenant, let him follow me. Okay? So we see here what Matthias said, no. We won't consent to the king's commandment. We won't do what he tells me to do. We won't do like the heathens do. We're going to continue to follow the Most High. And you see what Matthias slew, even his own brethren, okay, for following the heathen's commandments and offering the polluted sacrifice on the altar. Okay? So that's how zealous we got to be for the Most High. We got to go and we got to get our brothers and our sisters out of these heathenish acts, okay? Out of this heathenish mindset, okay? We got to be zealous for the Most High. And like I said, you will see it. It's a pattern that happens. Ain't nothing new up under the sun what our people was doing at that time. Okay? Now I want to go to
Can I add something first, brother?
Go ahead.
Okay. I want to make sure that everybody is keeping in mind that this time period under the Greek, you know, the time in Daniel's dream where the Greeks were in rule. Remember, Daniel was in the Babylonian captivity, and they tried to do the same thing to him. We're going to get to some information where many of the people who you have thought have been of the other nations, you're going to find those were our people, and those were the wicked. Those were the ones who the scriptures call serpent seed. But they keep doing the same thing. They always try to get us to defile our father's word and how we worship him. But Daniel, as well as Meshach, Shemrach, and Abednego, those three men, they said they refused to. Now we get under, what is it, two kingdoms later? And we're seeing that some of the people had started to persuade it. No wonder by the time Yahushua came on the scene, you know, many of the Hebrews had just taken word for those who were sitting in Moses' seat, the scribes and the Pharisees, and they were easily persuaded. So we see that there is a remnant. There was always a remnant out there that we just read about with Matthias. Okay, brother, that's all I want to add.
All right. So now we're going to go to 2 Maccabees, chapter 4. And I'm going to read verses 7 through 16. Okay? 7 through 16. Maccabees, chapter 4, verse 7 through 16. This period right now is... This is at this time when the Greeks were ruling us. They was pretty much over the temple or over who was ruling. So if you read the first book and the second book of Maccabees, you'll see where our people was being deceitful and pretty much trying to backstab their own people, to get in rulership or get in the king's favor. And those are the same things that happen today here in America. Our people backstab, we rob, we cheat, we do anything we can do to get up the ladder. We do anything we can do to live the American dream. Okay? And there's unrighteousness in the sight of the Most High. And we got to come out of that mindset. We got to know, as a nation, we're not going to prosper over here as a complete nation. Okay, one or two of us, you know, a group of us will, that following the Most High, we're going to get favor from the Most High. Okay? But we're in the time of our captivity. We're going to be punished as a nation over here. Our nation is not going to come together while we're over here until the Most High, our Savior, come back. Okay? When Yahushua will come back and get his people, that's when we're going to come together. Okay? That's when we're going to be able to kumbaya together. But right now, that's not going to happen as a whole. So we need to stop backbiting, doing this, doing that, to try to come up the ladder and live this so-called American dream that we want to live so much. Okay? But this is 2 Maccabees. I'm reading verses 7 through 16. Okay? And it reads, "But after the death of Seleucus, when Antiochus, called Epiphanes, took the kingdom, Jason, the brother of Onias, labored underhand to be high priest, promising unto the king by intercession 300 talents of silver and of another revenue 80 talents. Besides this, he promised to assign 150 more if he might have license to set up a place for exercise and for the training up of youth in the fashion of the heathen, and to write them of Jerusalem by the name of the Antiochians, which when the king had granted and had gotten into his hand the rule, he forthwith brought his own nation to Greekish fashion, the royal privileges granted of special favor to the Jews by the means of John, the father of Epaphroditus, who went ambassador to Rome for amity and aid. He took away and put in down the government, which were according to the law. He brought up new customs against the law, for he built gladly a place of exercise under the tower itself, and brought the chief young men under his subjection, and made them wear a hat. Now such was the height of Greek fashions, an increase of heathenish manners, through the exceeding profaneness of Jason, that ungodly wretch, and no high priest. The high priest had no courage to serve any more at the altar, but despising the temple, neglecting the sacrifice, hastened to be partakers of unlawful allowance in the place of exercise, or the gymnasium, or the Colosseum, after the game of discus, called them forth, not sitting by the honors of their fathers, but liking the glory of the Grecians best of all, by reason wherefore a sore calamity came upon them, for they had them to be their enemies and avengers, whose customs they followed so earnestly, to whom they desired to be like in all things." In all things. So you see, people, the same thing is going on today, that we desire to be like the heathens in all things, even though the Most High told us, don't mix with these people. Even though the Most High told us, don't make covenants with these people. We do it today. We do it. We do it for money. We do it for fame. We do it for power. Even though the Most High gave us clear commandment, do not do it. They will cause you to serve other gods. Look at our forefather Solomon, what happened to him. The Most High gave us clear warning. Do not take these heathenish women. Okay? Told us. Don't take the other nations for your sons. Don't take the other nations for your daughters to give them to them. Do not do that, because they're going to cause you to serve other gods. The same thing happened today. When our people get onto these entertainment business, the sports, the athletes, they do the same thing. They forget about their people. Our men marry the white women. Our women marry the white men, and forget all about the Most High. okay? They forgive them, period. That's what we do, and that's what sports calls us to do. It calls us to forsake the Most High in all things that we do. You don't know how many people, okay, I know I can't name none, who live for the Most High that are in these in the entertainment business or in these or athletes and can really voice and really stand up for the Most High and tell the truth. They're not going to do it because they pretty much have an obligation to their master who's paying them to do their job. Okay? And this is what these sports calls us to do. And you can see it right here, even in the book of Maccabees. We left serving the Most High. Our young men, the priests, they left and continued to follow after the Greekish fashion. And it don't matter how up we get, no matter who we are, whether we Michael Jackson, whether we Michael Jordan, whether we Magic Johnson, it doesn't matter. The curses fall on all of us. Every Hebrew across the face of this earth, these curses are going to fall upon us. It fell on us right here in the book of Maccabees, and it's falling on us today. And it's going to continue to happen until our Savior comes and get us out of this situation. Okay? So I'm going to stop right here for a second. Sister, you had anything to add to that?
Yeah, brother, thank you. I just want to, I'm trying to connect the scriptures with what we're reading in the Maccabees. Also, as the brother allows you to see what's happening in the world today, because you see, there is no new thing under the sun. When we read in the book of Maccabees, the second Maccabees, chapter 4, and it tells us that, you know, we basically want to be just like the other nations. We can go to the scriptures, and in 1 Samuel chapter 8, I want to read just a little to you so you can see where the same thing was done for the first time that we can actually read about in Samuel. That's the beginning of us wanting to be like the other nations, where it's pronounced and spoken within Scripture. When you go to 1 Samuel chapter 8, it says that it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his son judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn son was Joel, and the name of his second was Abihah, and they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment, the serpent seed. That's why when the father comes, he has to come and judge within the family. While the wheat slept, the enemy came in and planted a seed right there among the Hebrews. So that's why some will be considered the father's children or sons of the Most High, and some won't. But Samuel's sons, they did not walk in the way of their father. So it says, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations. So we're seeing that, you know, we always use the other nations as that was something good. Let's be like them. Let's do this. Let's do that. And family, the reason why this is so important, that I'm really glad Brother Jonathan's going into the Maccabees, because what we may have believed because of the way it was taught to us, because of the way we have the motion pictures set out, confusing us more, and because we're just not reading with spiritual understanding, we're going to find out that we had our government set up. Although we did not totally discontinue from our heritage till after 70 A.D. Now, they wanted, this one wicked man wanted to, you know, basically buy his way into something. This escaped my perception when I did the Maccabees, but I picked up on it, but I wasn't for sure if that's what I was reading. By the time you get to the book of New Covenant, in the book of Matthews, we read about King Herod. I'm going to do a full lesson on that. But he came from the Hasmonean dynasty, and I believe it's in the second Maccabees where you can find out a little bit more about the Hasmonean dynasty. But nonetheless, these were lost sheep of the house of Israel, and not only were they that, but they were of the serpent seed. So King Herod was serpent seed. He was one of Israel, but not all Israel is of Israel. So it's important to understand that, see, there's nothing new here. Our people have always tried to be like the other nations and many times bought their way into positions of power or positions where they get more wealth. Or, you know, it didn't matter if they ran over their brother and sister. It didn't matter if they abused their brother or sister. All these things were going on. And I just wanted to point that out so that you can see the book of Maccabees. You can go to the scriptures and get a lot of the same understanding. It's there. So we have to ask ourselves, why did they pull that book out? As Brother Jonathan goes on even further, family, you're going to find out. Brother, thank you.
All right. Thanks. Well, I hope you all get the point that I'm trying to make in terms of show through the book of Maccabees. How, like I said, there's nothing new up under the sun. There's nothing new up under the sun. What's going on? Nothing at all. Okay? And like I was saying, that how sports and how this entertainment business and how all of these heathenish customs that we do are not profitable for our people. It's not profitable for our people. Not at all. Okay? I had the MP3 that I wanted to play, but I think I'm going to hold off on that. I think I'm going to hold off on that. Okay? But this is the point that I wanted to make through the book of Maccabees and you know, to show that there's nothing new up under the sun, and the same thing is going on today. Okay? So that's all I have for today. Unless sister got something else to add.
Well, let's see. let me do this. Okay, we have hands up, brother. We have some hands up, and we're going to take a couple calls because some people might want to add more to it or ask questions. So I'm going to open up the mic at this time. Family, we want the lessons to be to the point. And, brother, you didn't want me to play that audio at all?
I'm here, sister.
Did you not want me to? Huh?
I'm here.
Did you want me to play that audio for today's lesson at all? Or did you want to hold that audio for another day?
At first I did, sis, but I think I want to hold it up.
Okay. All right, we'll hold that audio off for another lesson. But anyhow, I'm going to go ahead and answer some, we have some hands up in the, well, one disappeared, but we have some hands up on the chat line. And if anyone else would like to ask our brother or myself any questions, just go ahead and call in. The number is 646-595-4111, and we'll take your calls. So I'm just going to go down in order here. And let me go ahead and open up the first mic here. Okay, area code 404.
About we know that. We know that to be
Hello?
True.
Hello?
We're talking and rallying right now.
Hello? Are you there? 404. Okay, I'm going to put you on park. Okay, I put 404 on park. I'll come back to you in a second. Once again, the number is 646-595-4111. We're talking about the book of Maccabees. There's no new thing underneath the sun. Okay, let me go ahead and get another caller, taking them in order. Okay. Eric code 203. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom, Sister Georgia and Brother Jonathan.
Shalom, Shabbat shalom.
Shalom.
Yes, I have a question, Brother Jonathan. What were you saying about the gymnastics or the gym? What were you saying about that?
Okay, like I said, during the book of Maccabees, that our people, we went to the king. Some of the wicked people out of our people went to the king and were asking, could we set up a place of exercise? Or, you know, and at that time, their places of exercises were coliseums and gymnasiums. Okay, and gymnasiums and coliseums were full of wickedness that were going on at that time, because we wanted to take out the customs of the heathens, and we did what the heathens do. Okay, and during that time when we was in those gymnasiums or coliseums, some of the activities or customs that we were participating in were filthy. You know, we had to compete naked. They had our people fighting lions, tigers, and bears. You know, they had our people fighting each other naked, laying up naked, doing things just during pure wickedness in those coliseums. So when you read and it says a place of exercise, it was referring to a coliseum or a gymnasium. Did I answer your question?
My other question was, how does that pertain to people participating in gymnastics today?
Gymnastics, okay.
Yeah, you know.
My whole point of making that wasn't to say that it was anything wrong with those things. My whole point was the point in how our people were doing in the Book of Maccabees. We left and we forsook the Most High. We left serving the altar. We left sacrificing to the Most High, and we took on the heathenish acts. So that was the point that I was making, that's the same thing we do today. When we forsake the Most High to take hold of the heathenish acts or the heathenish customs, that's unrighteousness in the sight of the Most High. But as far as somebody doing an exercise, doing gymnastics, so-called playing football, so-called basketball, that's not a bad thing. But with the wrong mindset, with the mindset of that the oppressors have given us, it is a detriment to do those things, because we don't have we wouldn't have the right mindset, and we wouldn't have in our minds to put the Most High first. But most of the people that do these things don't put the Most High first. The sports are idol to our people. So no, there's nothing wrong with doing these things at all. But when you put these things as an idol and you leave the Most High, you forsake the Most High, you sell your people out, you pretty much sell your soul out for these things, yes, there is something wrong with it. And that's the point that I was making. The point that, you know, I was just trying to say that regardless of how we get in these things, no matter how much money we get, at the end of the day, we're going to be niggas to these people. And if, like I said, in the audio that I wanted to play at first, but I am going to save it for another time, that you would hear how this guy referred to, like I said, Magic Johnson as pretty much a nigger. I don't want this nigger at my games. That's what he was telling. That's what he was saying in the audio. If you haven't heard
it. Yes, I read it today.
Okay. So yeah, that's the point that I was trying to make. That's the point that I was trying to connect. That the same thing is going on. We forsake the Most High for these sports.
Well, the other thing that the person said was that black people are considered dogs in Israel.
Okay. Yeah, he did say that. You know, and that's how they feel about us. And that's the whole point. Like I say, what he said didn't offend me at all. I actually didn't care 2 cents about what he said, because that's how he feels. That's how they feel about us. But the good thing is, what the Most High has already put out judgment on the white man. He said he hates the white man. The Most High said he hates the white man. Judgment will come upon him. But the point that I was trying to make to our people is, we have to have that understanding. When we out here serving these people, when we out here making these people filthy rich, we got to have that mindset, just like you said. The black people in Israel are dogs, and that's how they feel about us. We're dogs. But the scripture is the one who's called them a dog, you know?
Yes.
So, hey, but that's just the whole point, you know, of just trying to get into our people's head and our people's minds that we got to wake up and know what we're doing, who we're serving, and know that these people aren't for us, regardless of what they give us, regardless of what they do for us. They are not for us. And scripture tells us that.
All right, thank you.
And I would like to add one more thing to what you asked, sister. It's interesting, and we really should consider this as well. Now, we can read in the Maccabees, and actually there's a lot of art, historic art, antiquities they call it, and you will find on many vases and pictures, portraits, and things like that, they actually show you how they were naked in the arenas. I mean, it's on buildings. It's everywhere.
Yes.
So what made it to the point of we're doing the same thing today? Because our Father tells us nothing new underneath the sun. Recently, everybody found out, which I think it's in 2 Maccabees, it talks about the Olympics. So, I mean, these gymnasiums, their form of fun was doing things in the nude and very vicious, very, I mean, it just wasn't anything that was prescribed by the Father. But what made now all of a sudden, everybody should be asking, why is it that we don't know that this is the same thing? Because now we see outfits on the people. But back then, they weren't wearing any outfits. It's like when Esau in the book, let's see, I think that's in Genesis, where he says that, you know, his dwelling was basically the mountainous areas, and the Father was going to bring it down. And he said, we're going to get ourselves back up. We're going to be, you know, we're going to come back, you know, as a people on head. Now we look through history and we hear about how they have termed words that we were using, like they call themselves nobles and all this stuff. And they call themselves, what's the word I'm looking for? Gentlemen. And things like that. I believe that, you know, through history, if you want to cover who Esau is, if you want to cover up what they were doing, you have to change some things. Because I don't see how all this period everybody was naked to now the people who were really the dogs, you know, on the base of the spectrum until we went into disobedience. And they were put, you know, above us for chastisement. Now all of a sudden, there's clothes being worn. They're telling us how to act, what's good and what's polite and what's this and what's that. But you'd have to do that, and you'd have to switch yourself around the globe, and you'd have to just get rid of the word Esau and say, Esau, the Edomites, they're gone. But really, all you're seeing is a repackaging. And many of us know that throughout history, that's what has been done, is repackaging.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of the times when we look back at what they were doing, it did involve rituals, like the Olympics. There's a ritual involved in that, you know, and it many times it's to their gods.
Yeah.
So, unless we look at the origin of what some of these sports, you know, are dealing with, like I know there's a lot of the karates and the taekwondo and all this stuff, that there's breathing exercises. Well, they do that with the Buddhists. They do that with the Oriental people have many gods that they practice the same type of behavior with. And you're putting yourself in a different zone. The Father tells us to be of sound body, mind and body. And, you know, and we're supposed to have him in us at all times, but they tell you to clear your head, clear your mind, do this, do that, breathe, chant, do all these things. Yeah, and it's really what it is we really don't know too much about all of these different sports that we have today. We really don't know. Nope, I don't think anybody has really, really done a thorough looking to where's the origin of football? Where did it come from? What's the origin of track? Where's the origin of, you know, a lot of the sports that we do today? And we're finding out the basis. The basics are that this was the custom of the heathens. They might have put a little bit of clothes. Now since you see them performing basketball games and football games and all that, but originally all these sports were done in the nude. And I know back in the day, you can go back and see that when they were doing football to start off with, before they really got that uniform together that they have today with full protection, they weren't really covered too much. You know, they had no padding. I mean, it all evolves, but none of us were here not even 100 years ago. So we think that what we see today, well, it's just football, but is it really just football? What is behind all this? But as far as, you know, if something's not a sin to you, and we do have that liberty, because we know that everything that we have now is of this world, everything we have now, because we discontinued from our heritage. So even when we try to do things righteous, that's why we talk about those sacrifices and people doing feast days and stuff like that, just like the Father did. He talked about it. He said, do away with it. We discontinue from our heritage. Usually because as some kind of trickling down or remnant of something from prior, and we're just not aware of it. And the heathens, they love to do all these things because basically, it's from their culture. It's something that they were doing, and it's probably a hidden agenda behind it all. I'm not saying that every single form of exercise or sports is wrong, but because when we do anything, we know we're not serving their gods.
That's
you know, right. Many people play football. No biggie. You're not serving the god. But I would worry about some of these activities that have those breathing techniques and telling you to empty your mind, like the yoga and a lot of the karates have that. So, really, it's just we're trying to show the people in this lesson how the wickedness of the heathen. Yeah, the wickedness of the heathen.
When you mentioned that yoga, that is very big now everywhere. Everywhere.
Yeah,
me and my husband are seeing it now. Everywhere. Everybody's getting
and
into
the
yoga. And it is
the therapies that they have, too. The therapies,
yes.
You better watch out for those therapies they have. They call them where they want you to listen to tape, clear your mind, and you know, all this stuff. Watch out for all that.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
Be guarded up when you go. I would not I know when I had my back problems, they had me, wanted me to go to some kind of therapy with that, and they told me to take the tape, put it into the tape player, and make sure that you're doing something where you can rest. Don't drive the car and listen to it. And I said, well, what are you talking about? And they told me, well, what's going to happen is when you put this tape in, you should be in a lay-down position. And just clear your mind and close your eyes and listen. And this guy is speaking, but as he speaks, he's calling down angels. And these angels are supposed to come talk to you. I'm like, wait a minute, there can't be no if something in my dream state is going to come down in my dream state and talk to me, and they're going to show me, you know, it's supposed to be sent from the Most High. I'm like, okay, yeah, right. I tore up the CD. I didn't listen to it. But that's the type of things they give you in therapy. They want you to do some type of yoga or some stretches or some breathing techniques and really watch those things. A lot of witchcraft is around that. Watch those things.
Even also hypnosis with people like having, you know, like if they hate smoking, you know, smoking cigarettes and they go in under hypnosis, you know, to quit smoking. That's another one. So if people are not aware of it, I'm letting them know now to be aware. That was another one that, you know, I found
out
about.
Yeah. A lot of the ones, anything that puts you in a hypnotic state, watch out for. That's the best, because they have it for weight loss, for, you know, a lot of things. Just watch out for those things. Be cautious. Brother and sister, I'm going to let some, we have more callers. So
yes.
I'm going to put you back on Park, sister, and we'll come back to you if you have anything else you want to add, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Sister Evelyn. Okay, brother, I'm going to open up another mic here. Let me just try to see if I can close up a mic. Okay, I'm going to open up another mic here. Okay, area code, let's see, area code 340. Shabbat shalom.
Shalom. Shalom, shalom, Sister Georgia. It's Sister Tanya.
Shalom, who are we speaking to? Oh,
Sister
Tanya.
Tanya.
Hello.
Hey, hi. How you guys doing today?
I'm doing great.
You know, I mean, Brother Jonathan, I didn't hear most of the show, but I did hear about the gymnasiums and so forth that they were speaking about in the Book of Maccabees. I just wanted to piggyback on that because I know you guys were just talking about how, you know, a lot of the times these people were pretty much practicing these workouts so naked. A lot of times you think about the Olympics, you know, back in the day, I mean, they were having big orgies while these things were going on, and it was a lot of homosexual acts, you know, and you talk about the rituals with the running of the torch. I think that's supposed to symbolize with Prometheus or something like that, the light bearer. So yeah, there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of things that was happening, and they still practice a lot of these rituals, but now they make it fun. They want you to participate. You go to the, you know, recently with the Winter Olympics, they're running with the torch, and from New York to wherever the ending was going to be, and, you know, all there's so much symbolism around, and a lot of times most of us are not aware.
That's right.
Of what's going on. And when you're talking about, you know, a ritual is a ritual is all wrong, and we're participating in these things. And I like Sister Georgia said, most of it in of itself may not be bad in terms of exercising, but it's what they're doing with it. And ultimately, whatever they're doing symbolizes to them. And Sister Evelyn was mentioning the yoga. Yoga has a lot to do with the kundalini energy, the serpent energy. We know who the serpent is, you know what I'm saying? And I kind of researched a little bit as to the side effects of trying to practicing yoga, and it's a lot of bad stuff. And they're not telling the people that. They're not telling the people. They say, oh, it's not religious. Well, it's a part of Hindu religion. If a yogi is telling people that it is dangerous, because if you actually tap into that energy, you can go mad. You can go crazy. It's basically demonic possession, you know, and, you know, acupuncture, acupressure, reflexology. You know, a lot of our people get involved in this stuff, and they don't have any idea. And like Brother Jonathan was reading, you know, our people was getting involved in this stuff. Get involved in the arts. You know, I don't think the Most High, the art for the Most High is getting naked as you're born and some acts. You know, you see a lot of statues that are, it's not even questionable. It's obvious what they're doing. You know, and we just got to be aware, you know, if we want to do more research as to, and then we do that, you know.
Excellent. Mindful. Be mindful of these things. Brother, you want to add anything to what she said?
Oh, yeah. She's right on. You know, she's absolutely right on. And, like, these sports, like, let me tell you, I grew up in sports. I still play them. You know what I'm saying? And I actually work in a gym. And I'm telling you all, like, the kids where I work at, they, when they get out of class, they get out of, on the weekends, it's from, they got the gym open from 11 to 11. And when I tell you all, they stay in that gym from opening to closing. That's what they do. That's their livelihood. They don't know nothing else. They don't know nothing else. And it vexes me a lot when I'm at work, because this is the only place they know. This is the only thing that they know, is dribble a ball, throw a ball. And I was raised like that. That's the only thing I knew. When I first got out of high school, y'all, I never even knew about filling out a college application. I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what an SAT was. All I thought was you go play football somewhere at a college. I didn't know you had to. You know, I wasn't thinking about going into a class. I just thought that you just go and play football, because this is what our people was taught. You know. This is what, especially like I say, with the young men, this is what we're taught. We're taught to live this life, you know, get this money so we can have these cars, so we can have women, so we can have fame. And you can see, like we just read in the book of Maccabees, that our people, we left serving the Most High to go and take on these heathenish acts. And we still do the same thing today. But sister, you're right on.
All right. I'm going to take another caller now, family. I got to switch over. We got more people that are waiting to speak. So, sister, hey, thank you for calling in, Sister Tanya. I'm going to put you back on park for a second and take the next caller.
Okay.
Shalom. Okay. Let me get the next mic opened up here. Okay. Okay, area code 614, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat shalom, Sister Georgia. Shabbat shalom, Brother Jonathan. How are you two doing today?
Shalom,
just
shalom.
Just wonderful, Sister Hadassah. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, you know what we have, family? We have, I think it was like 85 degrees up here, and this is the first time we've hit in the 85s. We've had cold weather, so today it's been a beautiful day up here. I'm feeling really good.
It is. It has been a beautiful day. But I've been following this whole so-called controversy about this Edomite and his comments, and I'm not surprised. Just like Brother Jonathan, I'm not offended. I was a little shocked that this was a Hebrew sister that he had been with, and the controversy around her. And it goes back to what we're seeing on TV. You got this TV show scandal and all of that, and the jump off is the main character and the heroine, and here she turns around and turns in her so-called sugar daddy because for whatever reason, and everyone's like, well, he needs to leave the league. Well, he's not going to leave the league. You're talking about one Edomite that's not going to get rid of another one. It's money versus money. They're not going to get rid of him. But what our people need to realize is get in this book and look at what's really going on here. This is nothing new. It shouldn't be shocking. And when we push our children into these sports, we need to do it for the right reason. Is it to further our fame? Are the dads trying to live through their children? They may not have gotten as far as they wanted to into the pros, so they're going to push their son into pro ball to further their dreams. You know, we have to think about what is the intent behind why we want our children to go this route. Is it so that they stay busy, keep them out of trouble, or are we putting our own personal gain into it? And that's where I'm thinking of it from that standpoint. And then you see, just a few months ago, everyone was clapping and cheering about this college football player that decided to come out of the closet. And it's like, okay, so he's been in football all his life, had these feelings, he's been in this, and who knows what spirits have attached themselves to him, because from what I understand, when you're living that lifestyle, you've got legions of demons on you. So he's in these locker rooms with these naked men. These demons are attaching themselves to him, and it's okay now because we've got our first lady and our president saying, well, good for you, you were so brave. Well, what's so brave about it? They're doing wrong. why are we cheering this young man? Somebody should be laying hands on him and getting these demons off of him.
Right.
We become desensitized to everything.
Mm-hmm.
We become desensitized to everything. And it also goes into the music style. You see, if it's entertainment or money-making for the other nations, they're going to let us go as far as we need to go. But they still hold a string. And how do they do it? Well, they do just like when Yahushua was tempted by Satan. You know,
mm-hmm.
If you would just bow before me, I would give you all this. Well, many of our people have taken from Esau through money, through wealth, through women, through popularity. You know, it really is a bunch of everything. This, when he read out the Maccabees, what I got out of everything, family, is just that it is spoken in Scripture as well as the Maccabees. I think they took it out in the Maccabees so you wouldn't see how evil these people were in their kingdoms. And many of you don't even know who Esau is, so they're figuring, well, if you don't know who Esau is, if we take how wicked we were against the Israelites. Now, we can read in Psalms 83 where it said that they had made a Talmud against our father. Esau was at the top of the tabernacle, at the top of the list. But, you know, for some reason, many of the teach, they will not distinguish that there was a separation between the northern and southern kingdom. And when you get to New Covenant, remember, we had already gone through scattering, so the Father says, I do not change. He was always trying to reach his people. So they teach that the other nations come in. They took out the Maccabees to let you know how evil these people were against our people. When you go read in history what they were doing to our people in, when we were in slavery. And then, and they even try to make people forget about what they call Black History Month. See, because we're in a whole new age, their new world order. We're supposed to just forget about everything that was done. We forget about our father. We continue wanting to be like the other nations and serve their gods. That's just what all this is about. When our Father is letting us know in the end, you go look at Revelations and you figure out that this is your time to get it right, Israel. You're in your wilderness, your last captivity. Yahushua laid it out for you. The prophets, he fulfilled them, but the prophets told you. That's what all Revelation is about, is the prophets. Many of our people listen to those wicked men who did the persuading, who are generational vipers, who many of them are the ones that you see, many of them are the ones that you see in these high-profile either actors or singers, rappers, or football stars. I'm not saying not all of them are. Some people just follow along, and that's the problem that we have in the end time. If the Father says, do you love me? Or, you're going to listen to me, hearken to me, or rather man. And our people now, they will promote so many things over even studying our Father's Word with truth, spiritually. That's the killer right there. The Word is not being spoken or taught in truth and spiritually. So we have a bunch of people running around right now thinking they know everything, and really they don't know anything, and the system that we're in, which is this is Esau's kingdom. This is his rule, time of rule. And you look and see George Bush and all the presidents all over the world. I don't care if they call themselves Russians, Germans, whatever. This is still Esau's kingdom. That's just different tribes or different sons of Esau.
Right.
Go ahead, brother.
And, the funny thing about the whole situation with this guy is our people are so deceived. See what they and think about this, like since I don't know if you all know this, but this guy Donald Sterling, this white dude who said all of this stuff. The NAACP was just about to give this man a lifetime achievement award, like this week. The NAACP
I think we need to play it. I'm sorry.
Go ahead and play it, sister.
And some people might not have heard this. It's 9 minutes and 24 seconds long. Brother Jonathan will probably use this for another lesson as well. But I want everybody to hear it. And if you catch the version that they have on YouTube, that's 9 minutes. The version I had was 9 minutes and 26 seconds long. It showed the words, so you won't miss one thing that this man said. But this is how they feel about us. They let you know, but they won't broadcast it, but this is how they feel, okay? And our Father told us the same thing, but many people just don't want to listen. Let's take a listen to this family.
Before you say, I want people to know that who is this man referring to. He's referring to, like, Magic Johnson. This is one of the most recognized black figures in sports. Magic Johnson, this is who he's referring to when he's telling this woman, don't bring him to my game. But go ahead, sister.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and push play. It's 9 minutes and 24 seconds. Here we go, family.
Honey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, too. I wish I can change the skin, the color of my skin.
That isn't the issue. You missed the issue.
What's the issue?
The issue is we don't have to broadcast it.
I'm not broadcasting anything. I don't do anything wrong.
Nobody said you did anything wrong.
I don't do anything wrong. If we ever have any issues, it's because people call you and tell you things about me that are not true.
Why are you broadcasting?
I'm not broadcasting anything.
Taking pictures with minorities. Why?
What's wrong with minorities? What's wrong with black people?
Nothing.
What's wrong with these families?
It's like talking to an enemy. There's nothing wrong with minority. They're fabulous. Because you're an enemy to me.
Why?
Because you don't understand.
I don't understand what?
Nothing.
That racism still is alive?
No, but there's a culture.
What culture?
People steal certain things. Hispanics feel certain things towards blacks. Blacks feel certain things towards other groups. It's been that way historically, and it will always be that way.
But it's not that way in my heart and in my mind.
But maybe you want to adjust to the world.
But why? If the world doesn't do anything for me and they don't make me happy.
You're right. I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to argue.
I can't be racist in my heart.
And that's good. I'm living in a culture, and I have to live within the culture. So that's the way it is. That's how I got it. I got the whole message. You live with your heart.
I don't... You're,
you can't be flexible. You can.
I am flexible. I understand that that's the way you were raised and that's your culture, and I'm respectful and respectful.
Why do you have to disrespect them? Those that are.
Who am I disrespecting?
The world before you.
Why am I disrespecting them?
Well, what, by walking, and you're perceived as either a Latina or a white girl. Why should you be walking publicly with black people? Why? Is there a benefit to you?
Is it a benefit to me? Does it matter if they're white or blue or yellow?
I guess that you don't know that. Maybe you're stupid. Maybe you don't know what people think of you. It does matter, yeah. It matters.
Do you know that I'm mixed?
No, I don't know.
You know that I'm mixed.
You told me you were going to remove those. You said, yes, I understand you. I mean, you change from day to day. Wow. So painful. Wow.
People call you and tell you that I have black people on my Instagram, and it bothers you.
Yeah, it bothers me a lot that you want to broadcast that you're associating with black people. You have to?
You associate with black people.
I'm not you, and you're not me. You're supposed to be a delicate white or a delicate Latina girl.
I'm a mixed girl.
Okay. Well, but we
and
don't...
you're in love with me. And I'm black and Mexican, whether you like it or not,
okay.
Whether the world accepts it or not. And you're asking me to remove something that's part of me and in my bloodstream because the world thinks different of me and you're afraid of what they're going to think because of your upbringing. You want me to have hate? Towards black people?
I don't want you to hate. That's what people do. They turn things around. I want you to love them privately in your whole life. Every day you could be with them. Every single day of your life.
But not in public?
But why publicize it on the Instagram and why bring it to my games?
Why bring the black people to the games?
I really don't want to discuss that anymore. It's over. I don't want to talk about it.
I'm sorry that you feel that way.
I feel that way so strongly, and it may cause our relationship to just break apart. And if it does, it does. It's better to break apart now than to break apart later.
I'm sorry that you still have people around you that are full of racism and hate in their hearts. I'm sorry that you're still racist in your heart. I'm sorry that you live in a world that still...
How about your whole life? Every day. You could do whatever you want. You could sleep with them. You could bring them in. You could do whatever you want. The little I ask you is not to promote it on that and not to bring them to my games.
I don't bring anyone to the game.
Okay, then. There's nothing to argue about.
I know.
Okay, we got a big problem here. I really don't feel like going anywhere. I don't feel like going to Europe. I don't feel like just going to the whole thing. We gotta be. If you didn't like someone that I was with, I would stop seeing that person.
I'm sorry, I don't have any more friends. What would you like me to do? Remove the skin color out of my skin?
Is that a real issue, or are you making something up?
I mean, I just don't understand what the issue is.
There's nothing wrong with you or your skin color. Why are you saying these things? To upset me? Okay.
Sweetie, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry, too. We made a giant mistake, both of us. Everything you say to me is so painful. Do I want you to change the color of your skin? You know how to really hurt somebody. And to, instead of saying, I understand.
I don't understand how you can have so much hate towards minorities.
I don't have any hate. I love them.
I cannot understand.
Why would you say
that? How a person like you who's elevated, who's here, still feels above the world, and you can't even be seen with someone in which is considered of a different skin color.
They can be with me all day long and all night long.
I can't believe that a man who's educated, a man who's a scholar, a man who's...
Well, believe it and stop talking about it. Let's finish our discussion with a period, okay? You're not making any good points. You can't believe this man.
You're
That's all I am. I'm not a good person in your eyes. If I was a good person, you wouldn't say, I can't believe this. I can't believe that.
What am I
But you're all lying. I love this.
Look at all this negativity coming from
There's no negativity. I love everybody. I'm just saying, in your lousy Instagrams, you don't have to have yourself with walking with black people. You don't have to. If you want to, do it.
If it's white people, it's okay? If it was Larry Bird, would it have made a difference?
You're just a big fighter. I could see. Who would want to live with a woman like you? Who would want to live with a woman? All you ever wanted to do was fight. You're a born fighter.
I'm sorry that you're mad.
You have the worst mouth.
Why are you so angry? Honey, what's wrong?
Well, why would you bring up Larry Bird? What has he got to do with it? You can walk all night long with your sisters or your family.
I saw someone I admire. I admire Magic Johnson.
Okay, good.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
He's made a lot of changes for his community, for the world, for the people, for the minorities. He's helped a lot of people.
Why are you forcing this down my throat? I'm finished talking to you. I have nothing more to say.
And I took a picture with someone I admire.
Good.
And he happens to be black, and I'm sorry.
I think it's nice that you admire him. I know him well, and he should be admired. And I'm just saying that it's too bad you can't admire him privately. And during your entire life, your whole life, admire him. Bring him here. Feed him. Him. I don't care. You can do anything. But don't put them on an Instagram so the world has to see, so they have to call me. And don't bring them into my games, okay?
I don't know him personally.
Please leave me alone. Please, please.
I'm sorry. Is there anything that I can do to make you feel better?
No, you could never make me feel better. You're just a fighter and you want to fight.
All right, that was it. Brother, you have any comments on that?
I got some. And the thing about this, if you all don't know, this girl is a Hebrew, okay? And the thing about it, she's content with being, this man publicly has a wife. You know, I guess that's how them white folks do. He was just seen with his wife today, and she was trying to support him. This man has a wife. This woman that's talking. It's not his wife. That's his side chick. Okay? And this is just the state that our people are in. You know, this is what this money and fame and attention does to our people. These people don't care about them. And that's the whole point that I was trying to make today, is to show, you know, through the Book of Maccabees and today that there's nothing new up under the sun. The white man didn't care about us then. They don't care about us now, and they never will. Never will. You got something to add, sister?
I think the audio was well said. I mean, you can't get out of it because he made it sound like, and this is what we find in the churches. They say they love us, but because he said he loved black people. If you listen to what he said, but what he said is, They say things, but their actions show otherwise, because he was upset with his Hispanic and black or Latino and black girlfriend, sidekick, because she was seen with Magic Johnson. So when people see her with Magic Johnson, they will know, well, Donald Sterling. Well, he's dating a nigga, you know, and really that's the purpose why he didn't want her with Magic Johnson. That connection is going to be there. His players, his coach, and everybody is all black, he says, I love them, but he don't bring them to the game. Why you got to take a picture of them? Why you got to put them on Instagram? Why you got to do, you know, look, we're going to use them. We're going to get rich off them, but we don't want no part of them. That's what all this was about. When they took us in the Olympics and our people, some of the people sold out, they used our people. I mean, anytime you go have a person fighting a lion, a bear, or whatever, shoot, you really don't care about that person, but it was for their entertainment, just like it is today. Same thing. And in the churches today, they say they love us, but why is it that after the church gets over, that's it? You might have a speck here and there that will treat a Hebrew decently, but if you had to put something on the line, you better pick, like it says in the scriptures, everybody going to go to his own nation.
That's
everybody's
right.
Going to go to their own nation. So, I mean, you can believe whatever you want to, because our Father, his word is clear. His word tells us who's ruling in the end. He told you he hated Esau, and he said that when Esau or whatever nation that is non-Hebrew gives you something good or shows you favor, it's because the Father has put that on that person. He's either softened that person's heart or hardened that person's heart for you or against you. That's what chastisement is. And that's what your rewards and your mercy and your grace is. You're going to get things in the land, whether it be a reward of punishment for something you've done. He goes, just like he always did, he took someone of the other nation to come against his people, or he will soften the heart into favor for his people. And that's all we're seeing today. But don't get it twisted. Don't get it confused. You know, that's all I want to add. We do have another caller too, brother.
Okay,
I'm opening up another mic. Okay, because I believe this is a new caller here.
Huh? I'm talking about quickly.
Okay, let me get.
He said.
Okay, area code 404. This is the second area code 404. Are you there? Okay, I'm putting you off again. Area code 404 is, I don't know what they're doing. Okay. Unless you put your hand back up, I don't know you want to talk again. So, brother, I think the lesson, you know, it is what it is. We've read it. We can read it in the scripture. We can read it in the Apocrypha. The Father says, my word does not change. So why do people believe things are changed? You brought up a good point by showing the people that during this time period under Alexander the Great, an Edomite, that our people were buying positions and trying to be like the other nations and building the things of the other nations, and they were persuading our people to join in. So our people always did. It's not like just under slavery when we came out, we didn't know any better. No, we've been doing that in the past. By the time Yahushua came out there, he said first to the, they say the Jew and the Greek, the first to the Hebrew and then to the lost sheep, or the northern kingdom, Israel. Because Israel was out there still scattered. We went under four captivities, and we're under the last. Actually, we went under more than that, but four captivities in Daniel's interpretation of the king's dream. And the last kingdom is the Iron Kingdom, and that's Rome, and that's Esau's kingdom. Because when we go to another book that they remove, I think it's in the book of Ezra, it tells us that Esau will be ruling in the end, and then when the Son of Man, which is Yahushua's hand, comes between the heel and the foot, then Jacob will be put back on top. So there is no great mystery what kingdom we're in. It's just that people believe those wicked men who come out and tell you, Esau's gone, or Esau is no longer here, or Esau is not the white man. It's not that we're doing this lesson just to pick on the white man, but you got to know the truth of the Father's word. If you don't accept that, you leave prophecy alone and just be as one when the floods come and overtake you. You don't know who you should be listening to. you don't know the truth from the lies, because many still listen to the scribes and the Pharisees sitting in Moses' seat, better known as the wicked men and the apocryphers, or I could go to the book of Jude. That's all talking about the wicked men, the serpent seed. Okay, so, I mean, all this stuff that we're talking about, we can go in the Bible that everybody should own. We can go to the Apocrypha, which is a book they took out of the Bible. They removed that. We can even look at current history and see when we play audios like this, you know, it's obvious. It confirms the word. But okay, many people don't want to hearken to our Father's word. That's where the problem comes in. You really have to take it up with the Father. If you find that we're offensive to you, you take it up with the Father and ask him to remove those blinders. Move those scales so you can see the truth. Because you got to know the truth. Only the truth will set you free. Okay, brother. That's all I had to add. Let me see. Oh, yeah, we have another caller, brother.
Okay.
I'm going to open up another mic here. Let me get the mic open. Okay, we have. Okay, my computer's sticking. Give me a second here. We have about 19 minutes left, family. The number is 646-595-4111. Area code 501, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, Sister Georgia and Brother Jonathan.
Shalom.
Karen. What I wanted to say is what I have noticed is that being a Hebrew, being asleep, it's kind of like running a marathon. You notice when they hand the baton, you never look back. You just throw your hand back, you grab the baton, and you take off running to the finish line. And when you get to the finish line, you really don't know what you have. It's the same thing in slavery. If you can recall, the master, he always had his choice, his little chick on the side. Now, he raped the women, and no one could do anything about it, but he always had his choice woman that he always used. It's no different than today, so we shouldn't be surprised that he has a mistress, because she's probably struggling like most Hebrews are, and she saw an opportunity to use this white man. Now, as far as we're concerned, I understand the passage when the Father says that he will not utterly do away with Jacob, because we are the only nation that can spit out babies after babies, and they cannot do anything about it. Even with all the wickedness that they have done, we're still having babies. But them, if you notice, they have to have the artificial insemination. They're adopting children. So once they know that they can't do away with them, then they capitalize off of us. But it is a beautiful thing to be on the winning side. So what I wanted to say, I just wanted to say you're doing a beautiful job, Sister Georgia, and so are you, Brother Jonathan, and I just want to say keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you, sister. Appreciate it. Hey, as the Father moves through us, we're going to bring it out to you. Anything else, sister, before we put you back on pause?
No, that's it. Shalom.
All right. Shabbat shalom, sister. Brother Jonathan, did you want to say anything at this point?
Well, I hope, like I said, I hope this lesson was edifying to the people. You know, I hope you saw, you know, could understand the point that I was really trying to make. It's like I say, what you see today with our people is, whether we know it or believe it or not, the sports, this entertainment is humongous, has a humongous influence on our people, has a humongous influence on our people. The music raises our children, the sports raises our children. And if we as Hebrews who are in the truth and following after the Most High, if we don't understand this and correct our children and correct our people, the same cycle is going to continue to go on, you know. And that's the point, you know, that I was trying to make, to show our people, you know, if we are in these places or in these arenas of life, we got to have the mindset as a Hebrew to know that, okay, when we in these arenas or in this aspect of life, whether it's entertainment or sports, we have to know that we got to serve the Most High and serve the Most High first. And what we do, the money that we gain, the fame or fortune that we have, that we do get, it has to be to the glory of the Most High, if that's even possible, that we can serve the Most High and be in those things. Because, I just find it very, very, very difficult to be famous and still serve the Most High with all your heart like that. So, with that being said, I'm done, and shalom.
All right, family. Hey, thank you for joining us for our Shabbat lesson, family. I'll try to bring probably this Friday if the Father willing, I'll be bringing out Herod, because I did mention it. I know a lot of people are not familiar with it. There's a movie you guys can see if you can rent. It's called The Greatest Story Ever Told. I think that's the name of it. Let me look, because it's good that you guys view this. You'll get a clearer understanding. The only part that, like, let me see, what is it called before I go any further? It's called, give me a second. I must have put the movie away. Well, anyhow, I'll try to post it on our website. But I think it's called The Greatest Story Ever Told. And they go into where Yahushua's birth with King Herod. Now, we can go in the scriptures and just read it, but if you watch the movie, you should get it more. And one of the things that amazes a lot of people is the fact that there is a king, and we read about our last kings in the book of 2 Kings, and one went to the Syrian captivity, and that was the northern kingdom, and then the southern kingdom went under Babylon. So we really don't hear too much about it, and we think that when we get to, we discontinue from our heritage, that our people didn't have any political power. But you will notice that in the book of Matthew's the New Covenant, that our people still had positions of power. But when you go to the Maccabees and you're hearing how they were buying positions, that's important, okay? When you go into the Hasmonean dynasty, that's important, because King Herod was of the Hasmonean dynasty, and we'll go through the scriptures showing you, just by the scripture alone, I can stick right there, showing you that, no, King Herod was a serpent seed. He was of Israel, but he wasn't of Israel. He wasn't true Israel. He had a different spirit in him. So I just want to throw that out. You know, like I said, it'll probably be for a very short lesson. I'll just go into a little bit of it, but to make you aware of it, because as we were reading today, as we will read in the future about these kings, and when you get to Revelations, you got to know the truth. If you don't know this truth, part of Revelations won't make any sense to you. So we're going to go through this, and I pray that all that we're showing you, family, go ahead and seek the Father on it. Read with understanding. Think spiritual. And understand certain things are said for your understanding, if you're thinking spiritually. When you come to the Father's Word, come as a child. Toss out of all the nonsense that you've seen on TV, at the big screens, or that you've learned in Christianity or any other man-made religion. Come to the Father's Word and think spiritual, and you'll get it, okay? So, family, hey, it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing. With no more to be said today, I think we said enough. We're going to go ahead and I'm going to see if I can pull this up. I'm trying to get you guys a closing song here. My computer just always wants to stick. Anyhow, family, hey, have a blessed Shabbat Shalom.
In the last days, Israel shall rise again as a mighty nation. Gentile peoples shall serve her. Zion shall be established. Finally, they shall dwell in celestial splendor. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, How hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gate shall be open continually, they shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Those nations shall be utterly wasted. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despised thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith the Lord, Thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto thee. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, Bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground and as the street to them that went over. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, The Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And and I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, Ye are the sons of the living God. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him.